Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, so diving into another PT pearl, we have foot and ankle mobility today. Something we'd love to talk about, something I love to work on myself. I think that my feet have been one thing that I neglected the most throughout my early life in athletics and movement. And now I'm realizing that I get to pay the most attention to now if I want to really progress.
That's so funny because I'm complete opposite. We're running around as a gymnast. I did everything barefoot to the point that people would get probably disgusted of how much I was barefoot, but I'm super grateful for it now.
And it's interesting because I never really had an issue going barefoot growing up on a lake and stuff. I was always in my bare feet, but I think that being in Minnesota and being out in the winter a lot and things being really cold, and then me being a power athlete where I'm like baseball, basketball, football, I'm always in this guarded, clenched foot position. And then, you know, the footwear that I wore was really tight. It didn't give my toes a lot of room to breathe. It was really rigid on the bottom because it wanted to give me a rigid lever to push off of. But in reality, that's where I think my foot started to compensate. Even though I would spend time barefoot, my feet would tend to be guarded and ready for danger.
And how long did you wear like shoes like that?
Oh, I mean, I played football through college, and so I really didn't do a lot of work on my feet or become more aware of my footwear until after college for sure, and through most of grad school. So I'd say even in the past like 3 years is when I really started paying more attention to it.
And that's what I like to bring up too, because yeah, we're going to go into exercises and things that you guys can start doing today to kind of start to address those feet and why it's important. But you have to realize, like, if you haven't paid any attention to them for 20, 30 years, and then all of a sudden now it's like, okay, I'm going to do the work, it is going to take time to reverse some of what your foot is used to doing. And you just have to be ready to go on the journey of it.
Totally. It's like I've been doing some of this stuff for 3 years now. And a lot of people, the first time you tell them to try spreading their toes, they're just like, they don't do anything.
It's not computing.
Yeah, they don't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. I tried doing it and I can't even think about what it would take to do that. And in reality, it's like, okay, when's the last time you actually did consciously think about doing that? Yeah. And when you think like, oh, not ever, or not in the last 20 years, or not since we were babies subconsciously putting our toes in our mouth and moving them around like their fingers. So it's just even bringing that consciousness back and then starting to do it consistently for a few years, then you start to notice that change.
Yeah. And it's funny too, if you think about babies, like how often do people play with babies' feet and want to like touch them and play with them? And, you know, and it's so, we don't do that anymore. It's like, if you get a foot rub, it's like, ooh, it's a luxury, but we don't bring any time and attention to our feet. So we can go into some of the tools and stuff that we like to use too, but let's dive right into ankle mobility. What is ankle mobility and what is normal range?
I think, so once we start talking about the foot and the lower leg in general, there's so many different joints.
Yeah.
Like we start talking about the foot and it's just like the wrist where you have the ankle, then you have the midfoot and then the forefoot and then the toes, and all of those do their own little motions individually, which then make up a bunch of complex motions. So at the ankle themselves, like if we're just talking basic dorsiflexion, plantar flexion. Plantar flexion, you can imagine pushing down into the gas.
Pointing your toes.
Dorsiflexion is trying to pull that foot up towards your shin. And that's just one of like the basic gross movements at that ankle.
Yeah. And honestly, we need both dorsiflexion and plantar flexion to have even an efficient gait pattern. So just in walking, a lot of people, they end up not being able to get past neutral in dorsiflexion. And so if you think about where neutral is, it's like making a corner with your lower leg and your foot.
Yeah.
That would be neutral. Now, to actually create more dorsiflexion from there and actually get the adequate range that we need. Your foot has to be able to lift past that neutral position, which is really hard for people. And when you don't get that natural ability to kind of lift that foot towards your shin, that's when we start compensating. We might change the way that we step. We might go and kind of rotate in or out more because we can't clear the surface of the floor. So, just something to start to think about. Can I even lift my foot toward my shin past that neutral position?
Yeah, and that's where you'll see a lot, again, if we talk later in life, where people, they're just stepping up to get up a step and they don't have enough of that active dorsiflexion to be able to control their foot as they lift their leg up, and then you kind of catch your toe on the step. You know, some of us might do it when we're just not paying attention, but later in life, if we're not doing it and being conscious of that active range, we might start to notice that more.
Yeah. And then plantar flexion, you know, anytime we go to run, jump, anything like that, you if you think about it, in order to get full extension and full explosiveness, you have to be able to actually get that full plantar flexion as well. Yeah. And it's not just for pretty toe point. Okay. It's not just for dancers and gymnasts. It's functional, again, to create that active range if we really are thinking about getting that dynamic ability within our body, which really everyone should be able to do.
And we have to distinguish between, you know, strong versus tight, or like actively strong versus just tight and immobile, because some people might not have a ton of dorsiflexion, and it can be because of a couple different reasons. Like, are we just not doing it? So we're starting to shorten into plantar flexion, but that doesn't mean we're strong or powerful through the full range of plantar flexion, right?
Right.
And we need to be able to control in the shortening and the lengthening phases. A lot of Achilles injuries happen during that lengthening phase when we just can't control the amount of force we're trying to put through that. So plantar flexion and active plantar flexion, super important.
And if you guys want more information on that Achilles episode, we'll link it here as well. They'll be linked in the show notes and also on YouTube. So you can check that out, because we do go into what exactly that means. If you're like lengthening of the Achilles, I don't understand that. Yeah. we'll break it down a little bit more in the Achilles episode. But when we're talking about finding that normal ankle range of motion, first of all, I like to say, you know, when we're thinking of something that's hurt or in pain, we have to look at the areas above and below, right? Mm-hmm. And so if my foot, plantar fasciitis, is getting a lot of pain, what has my ankle been doing and how is it moving? If my knee is getting a lot of pain, how has my ankle been moving? Mm-hmm. You know, and so that, in a very basic, general, broad sense, is one of the main reasons that ankle dorsiflexion and being able to get that foot up toward the shin is so important and functional for everyday life.
And that's where I noticed a lot of my own compensations is, I think my whole foot and ankle complex as a whole, it doesn't allow me great functional dorsiflexion in a way to, when I get on a single leg, I can't go down too far without my heel raising, or like needing to kind of go into that sissy squat to be able to put more pressure through my quads, because I start to notice that limitation in my ankle. So for me to get into more advanced and, you know, advanced functional bodyweight exercises, I would need to work a lot on my ankle.
And advanced functional is like a squat. Right?
That's true.
That's not even advanced. It's something that we as humans should be able to do, but we've kind of lost that ability to go into a deep squat. And a lot of people think it's my hip range of motion, it's my core strength, my hip flexors are super tight, but we're forgetting to go all the way down toward the foot and the ankle, which we'll go into the foot too. But if you're lacking that ability for your knee to pass your toe, which is functional, then you're not going to get into a very deep squat.
It's just in the last few months, I'm starting to be able to get into and hold a deep squat and feel a little more comfortable down there. So yeah, years of kind of just doing a little bit of work every day, it kind of, you start to notice it, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So if we move into the foot then, you know, the next part of, like, that's a part of this foot ankle complex. What kind of movements are we talking about?
So a lot of times people hear of pronation, right? Your arch is dropping and you're going into that pronated state. And it's I think, been talked about a lot in a fear type base, but it's actually quite functional as well. We also pass through both that flattening of the arch and the lifting of the arch, that supinated position, as we naturally walk and run. And it's not a bad thing. It's not something that we need you to be focusing on as you're walking or running. But it's just, can I even get my foot to flatten down into that arch? Can I get my arch to lift and supinate? And those are just like two of the most basic movements that we need. And it combines other planes of movement that I don't think is, I mean, it's important, but we don't want to like over confuse you with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And they kind of will pair up with one we didn't mention at the ankle, which is that inversion and eversion. Yeah. So that's basically just when your ankle's kind of positioned inward versus outward. And you'll see that when you're in that pronated or supinated phase. And why it's super important for our foot to be able to do this is because when we're in that more pronated phase, or imagine our foot kind of resting more down to the ground, we call that the springy version of the foot, where it offers a little more cushion, a little more spring. Your whole foot's going to touch and feel the ground, which is like what we always talk about with Vivos and stuff, why it's so great to have barefoot shoes, because your foot can actually feel the ground. Yes. And then your proprioceptive feelers are going to start telling you, oh, this is what's below us. Mm-hmm. Great. We can feel the ground better. Our foot is soft and springy. And then say we need to go and jump or run, we start to supinate that foot. That's the first thing that happens. And that foot becomes a little more rigid and gets us ready to spring our weight off of it and jump or run.
Or even walk. I mean, we go through that same pattern when we walk. And so, yeah, that's exactly why having a shoe that allows you that feedback of when I'm flattening down more and then naturally being able to lift more. I mean, I think it's so silly that I just remember every time I was shoe shopping with my mom, and it's like, does it have an arch? Does it have a good arch? Does it have, like, every single time. It's we're looking for how much arch support. Oh, it doesn't have good arch support. You shouldn't get those. You know, and it's like we've been conditioned into thinking that we need to rely on that. We need to start relying on how our body can move on its own and start teaching it the ways to do that.
Totally. I mean, we talked about it a ton in Galahad, the CEO's episode of Vivo, that we're obsessed with this underfoot technology. And really the best way to teach our foot how to move is to give it the space and the ability and the liberty to do so. Mm-hmm. And so just wearing Vivos, I've noticed my foot a little bit easier able to pronate into the ground. I don't think it's that I don't have the range. I think that's my foot just has always been so afraid to allow itself to just chill out and rest into the ground. So Vivos have made that huge difference for me. And I know we have a 15% off code for them, Optimal15, if you ever wanted to. We can throw a link for them in the show notes as well. Jen and I swear by them. If you walk into our house, you'll always see like 10 pair of Vivo just sitting by the door. So it's kind of pathetic, but we live by these things.
We really do. And it's so funny because I refer back to Lori's episode too, where she said rather than doing the most, she's now doing the least. And that's, if you want to think about this, like, how do I get good ankle dorsiflexion? And how do I do this pronation supination thing? Do the least by getting the least. Like, you don't have to worry about doing it as much if you actually get the things that are going to allow your body to do it yourself. Like, you don't need the biggest shoe, the most compact. You, like, look at our chairs that we're on. We're on like movable stools. We're doing the least because it's the best for our bodies. And so it's so funny to get out of that mentality of like, what more do I need? What more do I need?
Yeah. And Vivo, even in saying that, during the holiday, like, their whole drive is to, you know, during your Black Friday sales and your Cyber Monday sales, their whole drive was to, like, what is happening to the old stuff? When you're getting new things in your life, what's happening to the old stuff? And even when they produce their new shoes, most of it's by using recycled or renewed or regenerated materials. And they're just so conscious about the end life of that product. Okay, when you get a new one, what happens? And Vivo has that process in their company, and they're encouraging all other companies and people to be aware of, okay, when you get something new, what happens when you get rid of that thing?
Yeah. And that's another reason that and you can listen again to Galahad's episode where we dive into their environmental push and what they're doing for Vivo Barefoot, which is another reason that we just adore the company and all the people who are in it. And then we move down the foot more and we go into the big toes. Again, why we wear Vivo Barefoot, it doesn't squish your toes in. If you're squishing your toes in toward each other in a shoe, even a sock, if you think about it, a sock can be super compressive as well. This is not allowing your body to have that full range at the joints. And so really being able to wear that naturally wide toe box. I don't even like to say it's a wide toe box. It's just a normal foot.
The normally sized toe box.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have the ability to actually get that range of motion and that extension of the big toe. If you think about it, if I don't go straight over my toe and we need at least 60 degrees functionally of that big toe extension. If we don't get that active, it's 60 degrees big toe extension, then what I end up doing is I end up rotating. And usually that will mean my foot goes out a little bit more. I get a little bit more into that pronation. That's where we start to see over pronation happening.
And where we start to see a lack of dorsiflexion and people start to... Yep. A lot of these things are kind of coupled together where lack of big toe extension, you can also tend to see people pronating more and falling on the inside of that foot so they don't have to dorsiflex as much. They all kind of bleed into each other and perpetuate each other.
Exactly. And so if we just start taking note of all three of these areas and what we can do about them, which is what we're about to talk about, then, you know, you're just up. Think about what it's going to do up the chain. If now I don't have to compensate by rotating in because my big toe or my ankle or my foot, well, then I'm going to have less torque on my knee. And then if I have less torque on my knee, then I can get more natural extension from my hip. And then if I get more natural extension and flexion from my hip, I put less tension into my SI. If I put less tension, it's just like, you can see how it continues to go up
and
the chain.
And as you do those things, you start to teach that motor pattern again. Because again, it's like a whole functional motor pattern on itself when we talk about the quad working with the anterior lower leg muscles, working with the foot muscles. I mean, once you start pressing slightly differently, it'll run through that motor pattern slightly differently up the whole chain. And that's how we can make consistent difference just by having that awareness daily and doing some of these little things.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, we say, what are the reasons that we tend to lose this range of motion from when we're babies and we have people touching our feet and we're walking around barefoot everywhere? Shoes is a huge one. Yeah. Wearing heels, you know, wearing even men's closed-toed, like nice shoes. Like you guys get kind of pointy there too.
Absolutely. Toilets are another reason.
Toilets are a huge reason in modern culture.
Ruined us. Because now we have these big, high, nice 19-inch toilets that you don't even have to get into below a 90-degree squat to sit on. And you just kind of like chill out, sitting back in this awful position to, one, go to the bathroom. But two, all of our other joints, we're not functionally squatting and sitting and lining up our poop chute and doing what we're built to do.
we're sure going to have another just
squatty
episode.
Potty episode altogether.
seriously. But yeah, so if I don't have to reach my bottom lower than my knees ever at my desk, in my car, on my couch, and going to the bathroom, any place, except if I go load underneath the barbell, maybe a half hour a day, you know, like you can start to see how these patternings, and this is why it's so common for you to become restricted within your body. And let's start to continue to build up that phrase of common, not normal. It doesn't have to be normal within your body, right? Sure. So we're going to give you the tools to continue to assist you within your body.
All right. So why don't we ended with the feet. Why don't we start with the feet? One thing, tried and true, putting the socks between the toes. I mean, it sounds simple, but doing it for 5 to 10 minutes a day, it just starts to even push a little pressure on that big toe and start to give it a little bit of that feedback. Like, hey, what if we were pushed out a little bit further this way? Same with the pinky toe. Mine always likes to dive and hide underneath my foot. Just giving it 10, 15 minutes of time where it's getting pushed out to the side is great to start to get those feet to open up and feel that a little bit.
Yeah. And you want to make sure too, when you do the socks between the toes, because sometimes it can get a little tight and toes start looking a little crazy. Make sure that you kind of like work with the sock to open it up so that it kind of get alignment of those toes. An easier way to do it, if we're not sponsored or anything, but you can get something like Yogi Toes. You can wear the pedicure things between your toes. I honestly don't think those are enough, the pedicure things. They're kind of still too easy.
Pedicure goals is to not have to ever wear anything between your toes and just be able to be like spread them.
That
like,
was
paint my toes.
That was literally the best when I went and got my toes done with my girlfriend, and she had the little toe spreaders, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, but they didn't put any in my toes.
Oh, plenty of space down there, huh? Yeah, you're welcome.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is goals, where they don't have to put the toe spacer.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, you could do that. It doesn't take very much time. I've only had one person who really hated it, but she has a very hypersensitive system. So you can tell that if your body is so not used to this, start slow. So maybe it's 1 to 2 minutes that you're putting the socks, but the more that you do it, the more that you're going to build this feedback into the body.
Next one I would say that can be very helpful, especially if we're just talking about the toes in extension, is just sitting with your on your knees with your feet underneath, with your big toes in extension, and just trying to get that pressure. And it can be tough right away. It can be pretty intense. So sometimes we'll say start kneeling up, so you're not sitting back on your heels with like your hands on a couch or something, and just start putting a little bit of pressure into those toes into extension. And hopefully we'll have some B-roll going so you can see an example of this, or if you want to go check this out on YouTube, we'll hopefully have an example plan.
Oh, for sure. Well, I've done it plenty of times in videos. Absolutely. Hopefully, guys, if you watch my Instagram, you know, you can get to see all these exercises over and over. And I'm showing them over and over and over again, because the whole point is consistency. Like, throw it in your face enough, maybe you'll start to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it'll feel awful the first few days you do it. But you get into the second and third week of doing it, and it's like, okay, now I can sit for like this for 2 minutes and this feels pretty okay. I get out of it, and you know, then you progress into doing more active stuff and really utilizing that range.
Right. And we, again, have showed all these, but they're in the mobility method particularly, really breaks down each of these toe exercises, ankle exercises individually, and shows you what is passive, what is active. So if you really want to understand the depth of what you can do and what you're, how long you should be doing it, what you should be doing, what it should look like, all that kind of stuff, it's all in the mobility method. So now if we move to the foot.
Yeah, there's lots of fun things to do for the foot.
Yeah, and one of the ones that's like one of the easiest that you can do is just kind of standing on a single leg, and you're going to think about rotating around that single leg, and you use the other leg that just kind of guide you around one way, guide you around the other way, but you're really trying to keep all the pressure on that single leg. And if you rotate your body in toward the inside of the foot as much as you can, you notice that the foot naturally starts to fall. And then if you rotate your foot around to the other side, you'll notice that your arch automatically starts to lift. And so that's just a good way to start to program that pronation, supination into the mind.
Yeah. And you can even start that process just by stepping, keeping one foot planted and stepping forward and back, and just doing forward step, back step. And then you just kind of start to overstep and cross the midline, and then step back and cross the midline again. And it kind of exaggerates that pronation, supination at the foot. And again, just exploring that a little more is the whole practice of that exercise.
Exactly. And then we'll go up to the ankle, which is if you want to increase a range of motion in your ankle particularly, you just need to hold it and do it.
Yeah, just got to do it, because if you don't do it, you lose it. And you just want to load it and be able to control through it again. So we talk about, you know, long held sustained dorsiflexion stretches. Great. That's awesome. That might help you edge into a little more range. But then can we go into a heel raise from that and slowly control back down to it? So that's kind of that process of first, you know, maybe doing a passive hold, but then actively seeing if you can control weight through that range.
Right. And we show you again in the mobility method, like specific activations within various ranges of what you're trying to achieve. And you know what, guys, since you've listened all the way through the end of this podcast, we're going to give you a little bonus, which we don't ever do. We've never done on the podcast. Yeah. But there is a secret code out in the world for the mobility method.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And if you use code MOBILE, you actually get 15% off Don't tell anyone. We're just telling you.
I can tell a few people, but not too many people.
Yeah. So you can get the mobility method at 15% off. The reason I don't like to give discounts too much is because I really want you like the this. There's so much information. It's there's so great. Much education. Yeah. So much to the point that it can be really overwhelming for people. But again, with the mobility method, you have it for life. So take your time. And like, I want you to value the information so that you really do it within your body. Right. But
yeah,
there you go. Code mobile.
Great way to further explore the ankle, foot and toes. So you're welcome to get you kicked off on that.
Woo! Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.